Well, good evening. I greet you in Jesus' name again this evening. It has been an enjoyable day spent with you, worshiping together. And been encouraged today, and I feel like we've met some people and made some new friends and some connections that we didn't have before, and it has been enjoyable. And I invite you to, if you come our way, to stop in and visit us at Swatara. If you don't have anywhere to connect, anywhere to stop in Lebanon County, our number is in the directory, so feel free to give us a call. And we like to have company, and we like visitors up there as well. You're welcome anytime. This evening, for a message, I've chosen to speak on courtesy. The title of my message is Christian Courtesy in a Disrespectful Age. And I think we know what courtesy is. It's polite behavior that shows respect for other people. Polite behavior that shows respect for other people. In its simplest form, we teach our children to say please and thank you. And we teach them to hold the door open for an elderly person, or maybe for mom when she has her hands full of groceries. We have them hold the door open. Or when we meet someone who has a child with a physical handicap, we teach them not to stare. It's part of being courteous. We teach them not to tell secrets in front of their friends, right? They're with their other friends and they whisper in another friend's ear. And we tell them to be courteous. You don't whisper in front of others. We have some neighbors that moved in just up the road from us, just a couple houses up, and they were from North Carolina. And their boys are very, very respectful, especially when they talk to my wife. They say, Miss Dina, and yes, ma'am. And you all are a lot closer to North Carolina than what we are, and so maybe you've been able to retain some of that courtesy in your culture here that we have lost north of here. And if you have, that's a real blessing, and perhaps, I think quite possibly, you all have some things to teach me tonight, and that's wonderful, and you want to retain that. But those things don't happen automatically or accidentally. They happen with purpose, and I think it's good. It is certainly is good for me to look in the scripture again and look at some of the reminders of why do we insist on courteous behavior. Why do I discipline my children to be courteous? Because it just isn't natural to them, unless if you find the air down south here is different and your children just grow up saying yes ma'am and thank you. I highly doubt it is that way. People are the same everywhere, and so there's a reason why those things are brought out in the culture. And I thought about that with our church life, and I thought it is good for us to look into the scripture and look at what it has to say. And if you pay any attention, you know that we're living in a time that is becoming increasingly more disrespectful. And we see it in our area a lot. Parents' wishes are ignored and rejected. And you'll see it in the grocery store. Mom says, no, we're not going to get that. And the child throws a fit to get what they want. School teachers struggle to maintain control in their classroom. And my dad has a scanner that picks up a police scanner, an ambulance scanner. And one day he heard the police dispatched to a local school for a child who had obstructive defiance disorder. He was in third grade. And the police were being called out. I think he was third grade. Third grader. Obstructive defiance disorder. Our culture doesn't know what to do. Disrespect for people of other races and nationalities. And we saw a rise in that, I believe, over the last election and the whole Black Lives Matter movement. And that disrespect that's there between different nationalities. Workplace harassment. We were working on a new employee handbook at work, and there's a large section dedicated to workplace harassment where an employee harasses another employee. And what can happen? The charges that you have your rights in the workplace, that people can't do that to you. And it's all, again, a culture that disrespect runs rampant. And our culture doesn't know how to handle it. It's sad in a public school system to call out the police on a third grader who has defiant child, or the mob that's out protesting the actions of a police officer. And it's how do you cure that? And it's sad because that third grader, there's so much water over the dam already, right? And there's some serious problems that are hard to reverse. And when you have a mob that's protesting police, again, you have a serious problem that's hard to reverse. Basic concepts of respect and courtesy and kindness seem to be absent in our culture. But where do those concepts come from? Where do concepts of respect and courtesy come from? If I am just a highly evolved organism, do I need to respect other highly evolved organisms around me? If I have just evolved slightly further than other organisms, must I respect you? Why? Who says? Who says I need to listen to authority? Why can't I rule my own life? Who says I need to care about anyone else? And our title, the title that I gave, Christian Courtesy in a Disrespectful Age, our title suggests that courtesy and respect are Christian graces. Imagine if every home and every school in America carefully taught Luke 6:31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise. Imagine if that was written on the walls of all of our homes, all of the homes in our nation, every public school, at the aisles where we check out, and we just kept that verse, what it would do to the courtesy. The bigger concept that also needs to be taught is that the golden rule must be followed because it's the inspired word of God, and people need to be respected because they were made in the image of God. And when you believe that foundational truth, that the people that you're sitting here with in church tonight, and the people you'll see in the grocery store tomorrow, and the people that'll drive with you on the highway tomorrow, and maybe they shouldn't have gotten their driver's license, were created in the image of God, and therefore they should be respected. What would that do to our culture? And so tonight, are our homes teaching it? Is your home teaching it? Is my home? Is Christian courtesy optional for the people of God? Do I have a choice? Must I teach my children to be courteous? Or is it okay if I'm just a little obnoxious? And my children are a little obnoxious, and that's the way we are, and you should just bear with it. I think we should look at the scriptures this evening to see what they have to teach us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Finally, this is 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now let's examine this scripture carefully. You see there that we should be people who are pitiful and courteous. Love his brethren. We talked about that some this morning. Be pitiful. And if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it means very much like what we think of that word meaning today. Be pitiful, have pity on others, and be courteous. It's exactly what we think of in our English language, just being friendly and being kind, and turn from evil and pursue peace. And you think about that. If we teach that in our homes, and we teach that to our children, have compassion, and be loving, and be pitiful, and be courteous, and don't seek evil. Don't look to get even. Don't look for railing, evil for evil, but contrarywise, look to bless. Don't just stay away from the bad, but go the other way and actually look to bless. And you also will inherit a blessing. If you were to look at this passage in 1 Peter, you would find that it is full of all kinds of everyday Christian conduct woven with examples from Christ. And if you flip back through, you can see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, there's the appeal for a holy life, and then there's teaching about Christ, and that Christian submission in chapter 2. And again, Christ who is our example. And then chapter 3 is the husband and wife and the family. And there's all kinds of practical teaching. And all kinds of ways that we should relate. And finally, he gets there to verse 8 and he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. It includes all of us. It's not, we need to remember that it is not optional. All of us are called to be courteous. And I believe it should be one of the identifying characteristics of our brotherhood. When people come in and they work among our people, whether we're here at church or they have us on the job site or wherever it is, that we're known to be courteous people. And it should be noted in our communities, should be insisted in our Christian day schools, and it needs to be instilled in our children from a very young age. We're God's people, and we need to be courteous to the people that we interact with. And if we desire it in our homes and in our churches, then it needs to start with me, right? Like so many other things that we teach, it goes as far as I am willing to take it. I would like to look at some practical areas now where we need to be committed to showing courtesy and respect, and what the Bible teaches in specific situations and specific areas that we are tested in courtesy and we need to try to draw it out. One of those where we're often tested is that children need to be respectful to parents and need to be courteous to parents. It's one of the foundation, it's one of the key areas where we need to show courtesy. Billy Graham said that if children don't respect their parents, they will never truly learn to respect anyone. Something along that. That's not a direct quote, but if children cannot at a very young age learn that they must be courteous to their parents, it will be very, very tough to teach them to be courteous to anyone. And it begins at a very young age. As toddlers, our children have to be taught that they need to obey and they need to listen. And day in and day out, we have to teach our children that they have to hearken and they have to listen to mom and dad and they have to be respectful. And there's a lesson that I would like to teach, a story that I would like to tell for the children. They can listen in. I know sometimes you have church in the morning and church in the evening and you get a little tired of sitting. So I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story about back when I was 16 years old. And when I was a young boy, we had horses. We got some horses. We had some good ones and we had some not so good ones. But when I turned 16, I wanted to go and get a new horse. And so my dad said I could. And we had a man that lived not that far away who had a farm that he would get children from the city and they would come in the summer and they would have summer camp at riding camps and the children would take care of the horses and ride them and so forth. But when summer was over and the children went back home and they went to school, you could come in and lease the horses for free. You could take the horse home and you could keep it all fall, winter, and spring and bring it back in about April and they'd get ready for summer camp again. Well, when I called in for a horse, they had about 5 left. And these horses had been bad during summer camp, and the children didn't like them, and they wouldn't cooperate, and they wouldn't ride nice, and they had bad habits, and they were going to the auction. And the truth of the matter is, most of those horses probably would have ended up going for dog food, because that's what happens to horses that are bad and have bad habits and won't ride nice. At least that's what happened back when I was about 16. The horse market was strong, good horses were expensive, and bad horses went for dog food. So anyway, they said, you can come down and you can pick any of these 5 out. So I went down, and the first one I rode had a lot of really bad habits, and so I tried the second one. It was a little horse. He was kind of a whitish-brown color, and he had some, I think probably some Mustang pony in him, something like that, or maybe a Mexican pony, something like that. And he had a brand right on his shoulder. It was a number 10, and his name was 10, and I rode 10 in circles, and I didn't think he seemed like a real bad horse. So I took 10 home. Now, I was 16 years old, so I had a lot of extra time. And I said, I'm going to take this horse, and I'm going to ride him, and I'm going to ride him off, and I'm going to make this horse do exactly what I ask him to do. So from my parents' place, you could ride back the road, and the road ends at a yellow gate and goes back into state game lands, and it's a dirt road with big mud puddles and logs falling across it and steep areas. And I would take 10, and I'd ride him back there on a Sunday afternoon or a Friday evening. And we come back and we get to the first big puddle and 10 would try to go this way and he'd try to go that way and I'd make him go right through the middle. And we'd come to a log and he'd try to turn around and he'd try to turn around and we'd go over the log. And then we did this time after time. And 10 started to change. After a while he realized there is no going around the puddle, so he'd slog through the middle. And in many ways, he was a good horse. He was fast. I could beat most of my friends and their horses, and so I really liked the horse. I remember one time we got out there, and he really, really, really did not want to listen. And I remember I was just a little bit scared because he was insisting on turning around and heading back. But eventually he gave in, and he went over, and it seemed like from then on he just kind of gave in, and there was no fight after that. We had an enjoyable time. Summer rolled around, and I took him back because that was part of the contract. And when I had picked him up, one thing with these horses is when you took the horse, they assigned a value to that horse. So if you didn't bring the horse back, or the horse died while you had it, you had to pay whatever that value was. And they valued 10 at $800. And so I had taken him, and we rode him all summer. I rode him all through the winter and took him back. And I told him, I want him again next year. When fall rolls around, I want to come back and pick him up. He's a good horse. I enjoy riding him. They said, no problem. They reserved him for me. And so they gave me a call, and that horse was ready to be picked up. And I went down and picked it up, and they said, you know, I can see why you picked this horse up. They said, the children loved him. He's the best horse we have. This is a horse that every child wanted to ride. But you can have him. He's valued at $1,800. So if anything happens, that's what you'll need to pay. And a lesson that I have is, in many, many ways, when you learn to listen, your parents are going to insist that you as children learn to listen. And when you learn to listen and you learn to be courteous and respect your parents, you have a whole lot more value to society and to the kingdom of heaven than if you're one of those that just insists on not listening. See, Ten didn't know, but he was very likely headed for dog food. And when he learned to listen, he was the best horse at camp. Now, I'd like to look at a Bible verse yet that's familiar to us, and yet I think we should read it. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And just remember that, children. Just remember the horse named Ten. And when he learned to listen, how valuable he was. And remember that the Bible teaches you to honor your parents. Honor and respect. Listen to their teaching. The second area that I believe we need to be reminded sometimes that we need to show courtesy and respect is to authority. Whether it's civil authority or church authority, work authority, whatever it might be. Turn to 1 Peter again. I should have told you to keep a finger in there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. And so we have some practical teaching on different authorities that we need to submit to. And it's interesting to me, in verse 13, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance. And in our In the society we find ourselves in, that can be difficult to do. Part of my job is conducting training and staying current with Department of Labor and OSHA and DOT regulations. And there is a lot of ordinances and laws that are in place, and they can be difficult to follow. And I had a discussion not that long ago at a wedding during a reception, and the man across the table from me was asking, like, how many do you really have to listen to? And we can, there's days where it can be frustrating, it can be a setback, It can be hard to follow, and yet this teaching is here to have honor for the laws that are in place. Whether it's DOT or it's OSHA or whatever it is. And I think some of our background is we're practical, right? And we like to get work done. And so we look at the law and we perhaps perceive it to be rather impractical. And we look at what we could get done if we didn't have to do it that way. And we're pretty sure we can do it and do it safely. But are we willing to take a little bit more time to in order to follow the ordinances that are there for the Lord's sake? What comes from the king, and it can be difficult. Can we show courtesy to the DOT officer? Say, yes, sir. Or to the auditor that's in our office or whatever it is. But it can be tough, and I think we need to remind ourselves that as people of God and as we're known in the communities as people of God, that we should also be known as people who are courtesy and respectful and endeavor to follow the rules as best we can, and we should have that kind of a reputation and do what we can to work with them. And I know there's some times where it can be very, very difficult and we need to decide what to do with those times, but we need to be respectful and courteous where we can. Verse 18 also talks about servants be subject to your masters, and then it brings out not just to the good ones, not just to the master who treats you just how you wanted to be treated, but also to the ones who are not so good, also to the froward. And I worked for a man once. It was on a project. We were subcontracting for him, and it was prevailing wage working for the state. And he had put in a contract that he would fix up some cabins, and he ended up hiring us in because he wasn't getting it done and there was a deadline. And when you hit the deadline, you started losing money. He was the most miserable man that I ever worked for. He was past his deadline, and when you hurried, you went too fast. And so when you slowed down, you were way too slow. And he was paying a lot of money to have us there and losing money every day. Miserable, miserable, miserable man to work for. Completely impossible. And what do we do with that? And can we work through it in a respectful way? And those are some of just the practical points that test us. There's also church authority. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. And if you look that verse up and you study it carefully, it talks about those who have the rule over you. It's talking about your church leaders. It's very clear. Obey them. Submit yourselves. They watch for your souls as they that must give account. And it's so true. And I think it's important. I think it should weigh as a responsibility on church leaders that someday we'll stand up and we'll have to give an account for the way that we led. And we want to be able to give that. And the chief shepherd is going to ask us, how did you feed the flock and how did you lead them? And that needs to guide and direct the way that church leaders lead. But then in that, there's that command to obey them, to have the rule and submit yourselves. Look for ways to bless your leadership and thank them for what they do. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. There's little ways to show thanks, and I'm sure it happens here. But it's awfully nice when you come out. I don't think I would say this in my own home congregation, but I can say this here. It's awfully nice when you come out to the van and there's just a little gift sitting there in the passenger seat, right? Because somebody took the time. Doesn't say who it's from. No one's looking for any credit, and there it is. It just shows that they're thoughtful. And your leaders, I'm sure, don't stand here and ask for it. But when you look for little ways to bless church authority, but most importantly is to support them in the guidance that they give and have open relationships and communication and talk through the questions that you have in church life and work with them. It's, again, it is a scriptural commandment that we're given and how we relate to authority. And, again, we're tested on it in so many levels and the guidance that's put in place. And we live in a culture that says, who can rule my life? And it's good for us to stop and to look in and see what God's word says. Third area that we need to continue to lift up and remind ourselves to be courteous in is courtesy towards the elderly. 2 Kings chapter 2 tells that story about the children who came up and made fun of Elisha. And they told him, "Go up, thou bald head." And those bears came out and tore them. And it's a very graphic illustration of how important God looks at it, that younger people are respectful to elders. 1 Peter 5:5 instructs the younger to submit to the elder. Sometimes as young people, as youth, as I can count myself a young person, as young leaders, we get a little restless, right? The older people, they kind of have the brakes on. We have energy and we're ready to see some change and get some things done. And we just need those reminders. Younger, submit to the elder. Make sure you take time for the elderly here in your congregation or in your communities. You know, sometimes they think about it. My wife and I, we only have one grandparent left. My wife's grandparents are all gone. I have one grandpa left, and that's it. Elderly gentleman in his life, he's in the sunset years of life. But you think about it, you know, if the Lord tarries not all that long, I'll start to slow down and grow weaker. And time rushes on, and the next generation is busy. But can we slow down and take time for them? I received a cam flyer not that long ago. You probably, some of you I'm sure, received it as well. But there's a older man pictured on the front in the three words, abandoned, lonely, forgotten. And it talks about how there are so many people in Liberia, West Africa, so many elderly people who have no one to care for them. And the reason is because the resources aren't there. You don't have resources for your own self and for your family, and the elderly get neglected. We have the resources here, plenty of them. Time is probably the resource that we find we run out of the quickest. But I hope abandoned, lonely, forgotten is never the testimony of the elderly people in our communities and churches. I hope we have time and we take time to stop in. And there's so much that they can teach us and so much perspective. And I love to sit with my grandpa and hear his stories. You know, just the perspective that they have coming out of the 30s and 40s and the vast shift in all that we have handed to us today and the way perspective on church life and the stories that they can tell. And we need to take time for them and be courteous towards them. Fourth area that I have is courtesy towards women. The old saying, ladies before gentlemen, did not expire. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, Paul's giving some instruction to Timothy how to relate to the sisters in his churches. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity, honor widows that are widows indeed. And I think it's important for us to remember that women are a special part of God's creation. And God looked down at his creation and he said that it was good. And he looked down at man when he created him and he said it was very good. And then he looked down and he said, but you know what? It's not good that he's alone. And his creation was not complete until he had created a helpmeet for Adam. And Timothy is reminded to treat them in many ways like good family relationships. Teach the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. And then he tacks that thing with all purity on the end. And it's so important to remember because we live, sadly, in a culture who has taken the rampant pornographic industry and the shame and the disgrace that it is towards women in our society and the sisters in our churches and the complete disgrace that it is on our culture. And it's such a sad thing. But the purity that's there and the beauty that's there when women are treated respectfully and treated in purity, and what we'll do with that. But there's so many practical ways that we can show that. So we help out our wives, and as we let the ladies go first, and we teach our children, ladies before gentlemen, hold the door for them. Dads, as we carry the car seat, there's all kinds of things. Make sure we're thankful for what they do. There's so much that they do for us, so many little ways that they bless our homes, and we need to look for ways to be courteous and to bless them and not to let our culture wear off on us. And just some of the jokes that you'll hear out on job sites. I hear it a lot. You get into it with customers in their garages, and the man will stay out in the garage with you, and after a while he's telling about the decision process and how his wife couldn't make up their mind, and they'll tell these little stories. And it's really, really refreshing when you get into a home and the man's very polite and courteous towards his wife. And I was with one just recently, and he was very courteous. And then he told me that he had been married, I think it was 52 years. And you don't see that much anymore in our culture. And he was telling me how good his wife is and all the blessings that she's been to him over the years. And I asked him, what's the secret? I said, what's your secret? How do you make it work for 52 years? I said, it's sad because I get into so many homes where it's not the case. He said, well, my secret is two words. I said, really? He said, yep. Yes, dear. I said, oh, okay. I couldn't come up with a Bible verse for that, but there are some verses that tell us how to relate to our wives, and there's also verses that tell us as men to take our place and lead, right? But that was his two words. But it was refreshing to get with someone who is such a contrast to the culture and what we often see. Another area that we need to be committed to being courteous is in our speech. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And it cuts against negative talk or disparaging comments about others. It eliminates all mockery, right? Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which is good to the use of edifying, and it ministers grace. And there's no room for some kind of mocking speech in there, or negative talk towards others. And so what happens? What happens in our home when we're headed home from church and you start hearing that story and it's making light of another child at church? Or what happens in our Christian day schools when you have a student that comes in and, you know, they can never hit the baseball? Or maybe they positively can't lead singing. They can't blow the right pitch. They can't hum the right pitch. And they can't wave their arm. And how, you know, what happens with that? Can we remember to be courteous anyway? What happens when it's here at church and we have a leader? Maybe he drops his pitch pipe, or maybe he gets completely the wrong pitch. And, you know, how do we as adults talk on the way home? And in so many ways, it sets the tone for whether or not we will be courteous. And the sixth area that I have is courteous in the unique situations of life. And I just thought about, you know, the people with handicaps, and you see them when you're out shopping, or you see them when you're in the airport, or whatever it is, different backgrounds and races, and how we work through that. And I was looking online and just a little bit areas where we're tested with being courteous, and I found one lady who submitted an article, and she talked about adoptions because she had adopted some children. And she talked about some of the really awkward and less than courteous things that she's faced through that. And she gave some examples of some poor questions that she has been asked that I think maybe sometimes we ask without thinking, and yet in many ways it's not a courteous thing. She said that, you know, people will say, didn't you want your own child? And she's, this is my own child. You know, but we don't think about how that might sound. Or someone will come up and they'll say, how much did your child cost? Well, when do you start asking how much children cost? Hospitals aren't cheap anymore either. But these questions will come up, and she just talked about how it is. And we just need to be mindful, because sometimes a quick slip of the tongue, maybe we're just trying to show interest, but to be mindful to the different situations, whether it's adoptions or different races or whatever it is, that we're courteous towards those situations. And we remember that all people were created in the image of God, just the way they are for His purpose. And if we can keep that in the forefront of our mind, what it will do for us to remember to respect them. I would like to look at some examples from Scripture of courtesy that was shown and the blessing that it was to all involved. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, I'd like to look at a story in Exodus a a story about Moses and some of the courtesy that he showed and the blessing that it turned out to be in his experience and those that he interacted with. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to read verses 15 through 22. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. And this is the story of Moses. He was in Egypt, and he slayed an Egyptian who was attacking an Israelite. And then he fled from there. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel their father, he said, "How is it that you come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, and he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." So you look at this story. It appears that this story, if you take Moses out of the picture, it was a pretty typical happening. There were a variety of people with flocks, and for whatever reason, they would wait until these sisters came and had drawn up water, and then they would force their flocks away. The men would force these sisters and their flocks away and let their flocks drink first. And Moses observed this, and we know a little bit about Moses by what he had done to that Egyptian. All right, he could sense a violation when he saw it, and he wasn't afraid to step in, and he stepped into this picture. And he kept the men back, and he watered the flocks for these ladies. And it made a noticeable enough difference that when they got back, their dad said, "How did you get back so early?" And they told the story about Moses, and they said, "Well, where is he? Bring him to us." And they brought Moses, and he ended up staying with them, and eventually he married one of the young ladies who he had reached out to. And so it ended up working out very well for him as well. And I just had to think a little bit because of a story I heard. Sometimes young men want to impress young ladies. It's pretty natural, I think. And so sometimes, in order to do that, they might be tempted to do daring or foolish things. Maybe we'll drive real fast. I remember that when you wanted to get some attention from the young ladies and you're trying to decide what to do. I was just talking to someone recently and they were telling me a story about a young man. This person lived on a mission in Belize, and they were telling me about this young man that was down there serving at the mission, and he had a load of people in his pickup truck, a load of girls in the back of the pickup truck, and he was tearing through the narrow streets of Belize going 90 miles an hour. And he was doing it to get some sort of recognition or whatever. And that sometimes we're tempted to do those kind of things. And I would just like to submit that if we want to get some attention from the ladies, perhaps the best thing we could do is be kind and courteous. Right? It worked out well for Moses. And if we could just remember that and we could look for ways to bless, and maybe it's our sisters and our mom, and we look for ways to be courteous. And so that way it starts to feel pretty natural. And then when we find opportunities to, in appropriate ways, be courteous to the young ladies we interact with at Bible school or wherever it is, when we find opportunities, we're able to do that. And young ladies, I would like to suggest that you should be more concerned with how courteous a young man is towards you and towards your feelings, and how courteous he is towards his sisters and towards his mom, then you are impressed with how he can drive or the car that he has or how well he can play volleyball. Because he won't be able to play volleyball well for very long anyway, even if he can well while you're young. That's just the way that is. And look for a young man who is courteous towards you. And I'll just add one more thing, because it comes to my mind and it's a bit of a burden, and that is the whole messaging thing. And I know in our churches we have a rule that young men should not be texting young ladies and vice versa, messaging one-on-one because of some of the risks that go with that. But if you find young men, if you want to start a relationship with a young lady, there's a proper and courteous way to do that, and that's to go talk to her father. And that's the appropriate way to start that. It is not appropriate to text and message and kind of put some bait out there and see what happens. And young ladies, if you find a young man who's doing that, he has some problems understanding that, which does not necessarily mean that he's a bad person. But if he's sending some bait out and you send a signal back that you're not interested and he presses it, and you make a real clear statement that you're not interested and he presses it some more and won't back off, you now have a problem. You don't want to be interested in that situation because he is not courteous towards your feelings. He's not through messaging, and he probably won't be in real life. And we need to remember that. And somehow this rapid shift into the way that we message in 2017, we forget some of those basic rules of being courteous. And it worked out so well for Moses. He showed up and he said, wait a minute, why are the men jumping in front with their flocks? And he pushed them back and he drew water and he helped the young ladies, and they walked off and went home, and he probably thought it had not left much of an impression at all. But some of those timeless rules are still in place today, and I think we do well to remember them. Let's look now in Acts chapter 16 at another story of someone who practiced being courteous. Acts chapter 16. We have another story, another beautiful story of courtesy and respect being shown. And this is the story of the Philippian jailer. We'll start reading at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed him, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. We'll read verse 34 yet. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so we know the story well. Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. An earthquake comes along, opens up the doors, and this jailer had specific instruction to keep these prisoners very secure. And he had them in the inner part of the prison, and here they were. He was sure they would make an escape, and he was ready to kill himself because that was the sentence he was going to get for letting him escape anyway. And instead, they call out to him, and they tell him not to hurt himself. He takes him right into their house, and he washes up their wounds. The same jailer who threw him in stocks a couple hours before washes their wounds. He puts meat before them, and in exchange for what he did, his entire household comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And again, it's a tremendous example of a family, of a man and a family who reached out and were courteous and blessed and were respectful, and the tremendous spiritual blessing that they received as a result of it. Let's turn yet for one more story to Acts chapter 28. This is the story of the people on the island of Melita. Acts chapter 28. And we will read the first 10 verses. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. This is Paul. He was shipwrecked with a whole group of people on a ship. And they hit this island and they escaped the boat and got onto Melita. Verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now remember what we said about courtesy toward people of other nationalities and backgrounds and cultures. And there's an example. Here's Paul, Roman centurions, soldiers, whatever they were, and these island people. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. And after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of bloody flicks, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And so you have these island people, and you have a group of shipwrecked people, and they look for ways to just courteously bless them. Took them into their houses for 3 days, started fire to warm them up, gave them lodging. And through the whole story, as it all winds out, they find this sick man, and the sick man is healed. And then other sick people from the island come, and they're healed. And there's this exchange. And had they turned a cold shoulder and told these shipwrecked people, "Stay off of our island," they could have never found this blessing. And so in many, many ways, not only is Christian courtesy the right thing to do, and not only does the Bible call for us to be courtesy, but there's many, many blessings that you find along the way as you reach out in courtesy towards others, and others reach out in courtesy towards you, and that blessing oscillates back and forth. So the scriptures call us to be courteous, polite behavior that shows respect to others. There are many scriptures that teach us to be kind, respectful, and courteous. We need to remember that all of us are created in God's image. It doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, what language we talk. We're created in the image of God. And so we need to continually, consistently ask our children to be courteous towards authority, honor our parents, obey authorities, take time for the elderly, respect our sisters, guard our speech, and show kindness to all. And God bless you as you go this week and as you show Christian courtesy to those you come in contact with.